Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and for today, we are getting into a little bit the economics of the world, particularly remittances and cross-border remittances. You know, that's payments that are done, across borders. This is an issue that has been, plaguing the financial services industry, just around how do you make some of these cross-border payments quicker, because sometimes you initialize a payment here and then it has to go through a whole series of systems before you actually get something settled on the other side. In some cases, payments can take up to 5 days to clear, just depending on what part of the world you are paying to. But we have the team from BankServe that are here, and they're going to be talking to us about this issue. We've previously spoken to their CEO Jan, and he has been quite passionate about this issue of cross-border payments. That's what he was talking to us last time, but right now it seems that they have been able to make a lot of progress on that front, and they recently launched something called TCIB, and we're going to be hearing about what that thing is, because one of the things that happens in the financial services sector is that we do tend to have a lot of acronyms that are thrown our way, but in essence we're talking about transactions cleared on an immediate basis. That is their TCIB system, and to help us to get a little bit of insight into all of that, we are joined by Ruling Herbst, who is the program sponsor for TCIB, to give us some of that insight. Ruling, greetings to you today.
Good day, Mdiwa. Thanks for the opportunity to share some of our insights and our learnings with the listeners out there.
As I said just now, we have spoken to BankServe before. We mentioned Tor having a conversation with your CEO a few months ago, and this has been, ever since I started talking to Jan a few years ago, cross-border payments was something that he was really talking about even before he became CEO, and right now you guys have TCIB. Before we get into TCIB, maybe it would help to just take a step back and just understand what is the issue exactly, because, if I make a purchase on Amazon, some person is sitting in the US, in Australia, wherever it is, that person is able to get my money, I get my goods. If I need to send money to someone, it might take a couple of days, So where has the bottleneck been for us to be in the situation where we need to be addressing this?
Thanks, Mdiwa. I think it's actually quite a complex system that needs to be broken down, but as simple as possible. Cross-border remittances and the need for that has been around for us for many, many years. I think as we have people working across border, money, having the need to move money across border, cross-border remittances has been around. The problem was, and it still is that it's not necessarily always accessible to the normal man on the street. It's quite a complex process. There's a lot of challenges, a lot of red tape that's involved with that. So it actually came down to a lot of offerings being available to the broader market, but it's not accessible to them. It's not affordable to them. Most of these offerings are very limited in terms of its reach. A simple example is if I bank with a specific institution and I would like to make a payment across border to another institution, and that person might be banking with someone different, it's very difficult if there's not a current relationship between those two institutions to facilitate the transfer of money. It's not possible. So that means it makes it very difficult for the normal man to have access to these services and to get the money to where they would like it to go. So it makes it quite difficult. Naturally, the result of that, normally comes at very, very extremely high costs. Like you said, and you've already raised it, it sometimes takes quite considerable time to get the money landed in the recipient destination account. It can take up to 5 days in some of the cases if you're lucky. And all of this contributes to a lot of informal channels being used, because that's the only vehicle available to people at this stage to move money across border. And that is where they have to make use of less secure options to physically move the money across the border through the normal taxis or different other vehicles that they have to their avail at this stage. So yeah, so it's a complex system. And I think ultimately a lot is being said about financial inclusion and financial deepening and enabling them, the market out there to have access to these services. But from a supply side, we haven't done a great job at that. And that's why we believe TCIB plays such an important role in trying to break some of these challenges down so that we can make these services available in a form and in a fashion and at the price point that is appealing to the market out there.
I can definitely relate, you know, when you talk about the accessibility features, because we know of a lot of cases where if someone, you know, you are a foreign national or something and you want to send money, let's say you're coming from Malawi or something, and you have $1,000 that you want to send, you'd rather give that money to a bus driver and pay that bus driver, let's say R500, so that he drives all those kilometers, and maybe in 2 weeks' time that money arrives, as opposed to the 10 or 15% that is being charged by banks at the moment. So, and in such a situation, that would actually amount to maybe R1,000-2,000 that someone would pay through the formal channels. So with all of that in mind, in that context, right, TCIB, you know, that those immediate payments, how is that actually working? And when we say immediate, what do we mean by immediate? Are we talking like, you know, today? Are we talking in a few hours? Are we talking a few minutes? What do we mean?
Well, in real technical terms, we'll refer to near real time. So that means within a few minutes. Absolutely aspiring towards it being immediately, like in a few seconds. But as a starting point, I mean, if we get it down in the current system that's live at the moment, with transactions flowing between two countries as we speak, we're getting it right to bring it down to a few minutes at most, at worst case. But ultimately, we're setting up towards being able to have the money landing in the recipient account around about within 90 seconds at the end of the day. And that's what we're aspiring towards.
90 seconds. 90 seconds is quite, I won't lie, that's actually quite quick. And for people that are, you know, engaged in all of this stuff, because we're not only talking foreign nationals, there's a lot of people doing just simple business, right? I am a small business owner and I need to get a supply from someone who's in Botswana or something right next door. But the person wants their money today, they want their money now, right? So how, you know, for people that, you know, have used other channels, how is it different from, let's say, World Remit, right? Because with World Remit, you can literally do something, a transaction, and it can arrive within like 5 minutes. You know, I don't think it's immediate, but within like 5 minutes, something happens on the other side. So how is it different from some of the other, you know, channels that people are taking advantage of? Because you did mention the fact that there are options, but there are limitations.
Absolutely. I think the biggest difference, differentiator that I would like to put forward, which is important, and what we're trying to attempt to achieve, is broad-scale interoperability. And that is a notion that has been discussed for many, many years, and why so many movements for in-country payments has evolved around. I mean, you would have heard about modernization of payments, that BankServ has been so privileged to be part of, both on a national basis as well as on a more regional basis in the form of TCIB. But it's ultimately about creating that level of interoperability, what we would refer to the open loop systems, where we're creating networks. And the benefit lies in the creation of networks. That means it provides you with a much wider reach and accessibility with the ability. I mean, imagine having the ability to transfer money from your bank account to a wallet in another country. And that's what we've just proven when we went live with a participant residing in Namibia, a non-bank, with e-wallet base, being able to remit from those e-wallets to banking accounts residing in Zimbabwe and vice versa. Now, that is what interoperability means to us. So that takes some of these restrictions away. Because as you imagine, some of the alternative options that's available is restricted in its nature because they can only deal with themselves and where they have set up a network that they can, where they authorize to facilitate these transactions. What we're attempting to do is to forge a new set of relationships in which people can actually on equal footing interact between different types of institutions that joins the network, and through that joining the network makes their wallets and services available to a much wider audience that's within that. And that's where the magic starts happening and why it's then important to make sure that we get the right people joining the network so that we can actually facilitate payments. Because you're absolutely right. The barriers is just coming down. Trade barriers, all the arrangements and the treaties at the regional level, at inter-regional level, at the Pan-African level, all these discussions are geared towards breaking down these barriers. We now have to provide people with the required infrastructure to enable them to actually facilitate and being able to offer these unique services to the market out there.
All right. Now, I want to just drill down for a moment, maybe, on this issue of interoperability. And you also mentioned the fact that you guys were able to have different institutions, because my understanding, having followed financial technology for a bit, is that with all of these different solutions that people are creating, if you're a merchant, just using a local example, if you're a merchant that uses, let's say, someone is using Zappa, but someone else is using a SnapScan, then already you have a bit of friction between your different systems. And my understanding of interoperability is that even a person who's on the one system can still make payments to a person who's on the different system. And as BankServe, you guys sort of have traditionally sat between the big banks in South Africa. So does that now mean that you guys, your system is also then open to all of these other players that are there? I'm thinking mobile operators. I'm thinking all of these different players that are all, you know, trying to get in on this fintech game.
And I think that's where the uniqueness of TCIB comes in. When, in terms of how the scheme was developed, it is open to banks as well as non-banks. In our definitions, we refer to all authorized financial institutions. So the entry criteria would be for the institution to be authorized by its local regulator to be able to facilitate payments, and they can actually come into the network on equal footing and be able to form part of this broader network and open up their customer portfolios to be able to facilitate transactions between each other. So that's the uniqueness. So yes, if you bank and that bank through that bank's service offering, you would like to send money to another country, and that is for someone who holds an e-wallet account in another country, it's made possible as long as that financial institution joins the scheme and become an active participant within the network at the end of the day.
All right. That definitely makes sense. One of the curiosities that I'm sure people might have then, because you mentioned this issue of reciprocity earlier on, you know, to say that, you know, if you send money to someone on the other side, there must be agreements in place. You know, the bank that I send from must at least know the bank that's on the other side, or some, you know, in my own layman's understanding. So from that point of view, when I think about something like TCIB, the question that comes to mind is, is this a triumph of technology, or is this a triumph of negotiating with people and creating those networks in the background?
Well, I think it's a combination. I think, you know, it's a chicken and egg, man, and that's a debate in the payments industry all over the world in terms of where do you start. You first lay down the foundations and implement the infrastructure and the technology, the supply side, or do you first start in mobilizing the market in a fashion where they are willing to actually interact in a certain way with each other to serve a very specific purpose? And I think the success of TCIB is that it's been a combination between the two. Although we started off on the technical journey, and I think we've broken a lot of rules in terms of how we went about getting a sound and secure offering out for the broader SADC region. But nevertheless, I believe the success lies in the establishment of this, what we refer to as the scheme. And the scheme is basically predicated on a multilateral agreement whereby all the role players agreed to a single set of rules by which they would play, a set of rules of engagement that will steer the behavior within that. And I think that lays the foundation for the market to actually come together and be willing to work together and to progress cross-border payments through the DCIB offering. So it's a combination. But I absolutely believe if you have to ask me to choose which one is the more important one, it's absolutely the one around making sure that there's a sound foundation through which like-minded people can come together and work together on a similar fashion. Because that's the big win. We're not reliant on hundreds and hundreds of bilateral agreements anymore. As a single agreement that everybody signs up, and actually we govern the standards through those agreements at the end of the day.
No, certainly. And from a regional integration point of view, one can certainly see that this might go a long way, because we've got the Africa Free Trade Continental Agreement and all of those things that people are trying to push. But if people aren't able to just make cross-border payments, then that dream, you know, seems a bit tough. So, you know, these seem like, you know, some of the building blocks. But as a geek, I'm very interested in the technology, you know, the type of systems that maybe you guys have in the background, you know, to enable all of this stuff. So maybe you could just talk to us briefly around that, because I can imagine that creating a system where someone's mobile wallet in one country versus a bank account in another country are talking to each other, that there's a lot going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think there's probably two main components that makes up the systems that we've deployed. The first being the system through which we traditionally would clear payments, and that's the facilitation from payments from the one end to the other end. And then the second part is also the settlement services that was developed. But I think at the core of it is the third component, and that's what we refer to as the master data management component, where the magic actually happens, is where all these marriages are actually facilitated and set up. I mean, as you can imagine, that's your vehicle through which you can manage your risks. Different limits can be set, thresholds can be set, but also we can set up relationships within that to make sure that the routing of the payments are happening in a visible and transparent manner. And that is the one thing that we've set out from day one, is to say, from start to finish, a payment should always be transparent and should be visible. And that's what we facilitate through our master data management. Our clearing system is a hosted solution that comes with all the necessary bells and whistles that we would typically associate with clearing systems, modern clearing systems. It's a system that we haven't developed ourselves. We partnered with an international company who's providing us with that software, and it's been tried and tested on the international platform and has done wonderful across the world, which we're delighted that we can have a partner like that. The settlement services, ultimately that's something that's very close to Banks of Africa, where we have provided those services, because we're also delivering those services within the South African context. So that is an homegrown solution that lies close to us, and that then relates and talks back to the SADC RTGS, who's acting as the final settlement destination at the end of the day.
Okay. So a lot of systems happening in the background, a lot of coordination, a lot of collaboration, and a lot of moving pieces in the background just to enable all of this stuff to happen. So now that everything is here, you know, we've outlined what the problem was, where the complexity lay. We've now come up with a solution. TCIB is now here. It exists. There's interoperability, which means, you know, the banks, mobile operators, fintechs, all of these people can all meet. These systems are talking to each other. When it comes to at least getting this into the hands of people, the so-called mainstream adoption, what are some of the next things that are now meant to happen, you know, so that if I want to send money to someone in Cameroon, in Tanzania or something, that it's an immediate process? Because I can imagine that these things are not just going to happen overnight. I'm not just going to open my app tomorrow and be able to just do that.
Absolutely. So there's a series of activities, Ben. As we've discussed earlier, the starting point is always to build up critical mass within the network. In other words, to get as many as possible financial institutions to come on board onto the network, and for them being able to offer these services as fast as they can to their immediate customers. And that's the fastest movers is going to get the benefit of being able to offer this to their services. And it basically is dependent on how fast they can take it out. I think from a scheme perspective as well, there's also a lot of thinking and work happening centrally at the moment in terms of how do we best move forward in commercializing the network that's being established here and being able to draw the innovators out there. And there's a lot of innovators out there in SADC, to draw them into the ecology. Because when ultimately we're not just setting up a payment system, that was the first step of it. Now we're building a payments ecology that the broader SADC financial institutions can actually draw on to provide all these services, because we know consumer needs are moving fast, they're changing. I mean, even some of the current financial institutions are finding it difficult to provide that reach and access to the broader market at large. But now with the combinations of them, we can reach so many different more of these consumers out there and offer these services to them. So it's now about exposing that network and actually activating it through the channels of the financial institutions. And as a third board of call, to actually be able to go out and find clever ways of tiering and getting more and more participants involved. We're also very involved in setting up in what we refer to as payments process enablers to provide assistance out there in the different countries, and making sure that they can actually join the network and it becomes an easy process for them to join the network. Because once they've joined the network, that's where the magic starts. But more importantly, Madiwa, that's also where the good discussion starts. As members are joining the scheme, where that's a setting the table for us to start having the real discussions and the real debates. I think for so long, so many people have complained about the challenges out there, why we can't offer better services, why we can't offer the services at lower rates, why we can't reach the broader communities out there. Now we've set the table for all of us to get around the table and for us to have these constructive debates and solve for these problems. And remember, we've got a regulatory grounding. with the SADC regional oversight body that is in support of what we're doing. So we've also got a good inroad back into the regulatory framework as well, to make sure that we, if there's any challenges and restrictions, and we know when regulation is not standing still, if it comes to cross-border, a lot of activity, a lot of movements, when you've heard about AML, sanction screening, FATF 16, and all of these things that's happening, that's a reality. But now we've got an opportunity to find ways of implementing smart ways of introducing elements like risk-based regulation to make it easier for not only the consumer but for the participants at the end of the day to partake within these interoperable systems.
And speaking of regulation, before we end off, where does the South African Reserve Bank sit in all this? Because I'm pretty sure that they've been involved in one way or another in the development of the system.
Definitely. From a South African Reserve Bank perspective, I mean, as you can recall, when regional integration is quite high up on the Vision 2025 agenda. So they've got a vested interest in it. But ultimately, what we've got to remember, this is a regional offering. And here with South Africa, the South African Reserve Bank is also a role player in the broader regional regulatory body, which we commonly refer to as the PSOC, another abbreviation, but that's the Oversight Committee, that we have a very close working relationship and also in a privileged position where they have formally endorsed the TCIB offering and has been instrumental in us developing and building the necessary legal frameworks and standards that's associated with that.
Okay, so as we round up the discussion, Ruling, I just want to take a step back. I think we have really spoken quite a bit about, TCIB. When you aren't working on TCIB, I understand that you're also the acting executive head of Africa Business Development and Strategy. You know, what does that role entail? Or are you TCIB full time, like?
Well, I must be honest, TCIB takes up most of my time at the moment, but it's because where we're at that critical point of going into the market. But anyway, as you know, and Jan has also probably had this discussion with and just touched on it, is that we've always had this broader vision about becoming the payments highway for the broader Africa, which has always been a very ambitious endeavor for Banks of Africa, but nevertheless, TCIB was one of the products out of that strategy. And over and above that, we also got quite involved in understanding how we can support the broader region in providing them with shared infrastructure to actually facilitate their national payments interests. Because as we know, as South Africa is going through this process, most of the countries in the broader SADC and even broader than that has very similar ambitions in actually modernizing their payment systems. One thing that we just found is that for everybody to invest in infrastructure sometimes just doesn't make sense. It just adds to the cost. It's expensive to do these. We have to find ways of capitalizing on the economies of scale. So a lot of work is also going into that. And that's something that will definitely carry more and more focus, not only as our RPP program moves forward, but also as TCIB, because I think ultimately in future, payment systems should be able to seamlessly integrate to provide that same experience to your end customer. So when you log onto your preferred suppliers apps, you should be able to select whether you should want to do a local payment or whether you want to do a cross-border payment within SADC. And the system should sort out the logic for you. It has become a factor of routing. And so that's what we ultimately aspiring towards. And I think from a broader strategy perspective, we've embarked on a very, very, very exciting journey in terms of BankServe 2.0, what we commonly refer to it. And that's ultimately focusing on how do we actually transform what we do today to be more like a platform business. Being able to facilitate critical relationships with shared infrastructure. So that's ultimately been the vision. And we're still going through the planning process. I think that's always the interesting part, figuring out how you're going to get there. But ultimately, that's something that excites us. And all these building blocks that we're working on is ultimately moving towards us actually setting up a platform for the broader region that can be utilized in different permutations and different fashions.
So that's been us. We were talking to Ruling Herbst, who is the program sponsor for TCIB, that is Bank Serves Africa's transactions cleared on an immediate basis service, which they've recently just concluded. And it's been a long time coming, as what Ruling is saying. They've been working to tackle this for a long time. So now there's a solution in place. And he's saying that one of the key things is that they have interoperability, which basically means that different financial services providers will be able to link into this system, both domestically and regionally, to be able to offer payments. And for now, they are working, their payments are being cleared in roughly a minute and a half or 90 seconds, but they will be working to reduce some of that time. Though the problem was articulated back in the day, and the solution has been come up with now, Ruling is just talking about the fact that there's more that needs to be done to actually ensure mainstream adoption. And the key thing will be getting more and more financial institutions to come on board, because as those financial institutions come on board, they bring with them their customer bases, and more and more people transact in that way. But otherwise, this then becomes one piece in a broader system that the company is trying to create, where they create a platform and become, as he said, a highway for payments. Ruling, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for the opportunity. Really appreciate it.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
It's a very fascinating discussion just to see the progress that's being made with this TCIB system. But going forward, it will be interesting to see how many financial institutions actually get on board, because more than anything else, if financial institutions can find a way to reduce the cost of cross-border remittances for consumers, that is likely to be where the game changer is, where the cost of sending money through a bank or their formal channels is more, makes more economic sense than giving physical cash to a bus driver or someone who's traveling. You know, things like that, I think they'll really go a long way to actually help to help a lot of people with this issue. And also, just from a regional integration point of view, if cross-border payments can be quicker and faster, it will go a long way to actually helping trade, or to help inspire, or to help encourage trade between the countries, in the region. So really looking forward to see how all of that develops. And the integration of the different systems, I think that's also going to be an interesting one and a game changer if it's executed properly. A lot of these things, we often hear of good plans, and this really does sound like a good plan, but the execution is where it's going to need to be key. I mean, earlier this week, we got an announcement that Vodacom has now launched its VodaPay super app, super app platform to the public. And a platform like that would really work well if Vodacom, through its M-Pesa system, can allow for some of those cross-border interactions to happen. Not to say that things like that aren't possible, but if they can be faster, then it makes all of those platforms even more attractive to people. So it would be good from that point of view. And also just the safety. A lot of people have their money stolen through some of these informal channels. So, things that are brought into the formal channel would be good from that safety point of view. And also from a consumer perspective, right, as much as costs are set to come down, right, will they be trusting enough of the system, or would they still want to go back to the current way of doing things? It will be good to see going forward, and especially in an environment where all of these different fintech operators are becoming more prevalent and are becoming more mainstream. We recently had the team from ChipperCash, and one of the big things they're offering is that ability to send money across border. Cross-border remittances is part of their value, you know, part of their value add, part of, you know, the value that they're offering to people. So if something like this can come in as a TCIB, and you have different payments providers then coming in and integrating into that system, going forward, it's looking to be a good future. But as I said, execution will be key. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.